Greetings in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your speaker today is Evangelist John A. Horn of Atchison, Kansas. And we're going to call your attention now to a number of passages from the Word of God. In other words, what the Word of God claims to be. Now, if you were to turn to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1 and verse 25, we read there that the Word of the Lord endureth forever. Then if you were to turn to St. John, chapter 6 and verse 63, we there read, the Word is living, living. And then if you were to turn to the 5th chapter of St. John and verse 54, we read that the Word is not only living, but it is life-giving. And then if you were to turn to Matthew, chapter 4 and verse 4, we read that the Word of our God is life-sustaining. And then, too, if you were to turn to the book of the Psalms, that would be the 17th Psalm, and the verse 4, the Word of God makes another claim, and we read there that the Word will keep one who believes it, who trusts it, and who bows to it from the path of the destroyer. And then in the Gospel by St. John, chapter 10, and verse 19, we read that the Word of God, is a divider of men. Then if you were to turn to the same 12th chapter, that is the 12th chapter of St. John, and verse 28, we read there that the Word of God, will judge men in the last day. And then, of course, there are a great many other passages to which we might turn, and I'm sure could turn to real profit. However, I want to ask your attention now, please, to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1, and we'll read together for brevity's sake at about verse 23, which says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, you of course know that the seeds we plant into the ground in the springtime or in the fall of the year, or any time of the year, those seeds are corruptible. They must die before new life can and does spring up. But the blessed God of glory tells us through his servant here that when men and women are born again, they are born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And just as seed begets the same that's sown into the ground, like begets like, as we say, if you plant into the ground tomato seed, you certainly wouldn't expect to reap turnips or cabbage or otherwise, but it yields, as the Word of God plainly declares in the first book of the Bible, it yields after its kind. And so the Word of God comes from God and is like himself, is incorruptible, and I'm glad to be able to tell you, indestructible. Now, there have been attempts made in the years gone by to do away with the Word of God. And there was an infidel Frenchman whose name was Renan. He used to lecture his terrible doctrine and against the Word of God and against the Christ of the Word of God. He was giving a lecture one night in a particular building, and he said that in less than 100 years from now, the Word of God will be completely obliterated. It'll be a thing of the past. And listen, friends, I'm glad to be able to tell you that right in the very place where he uttered those words, in far less than 100 years, it was packed, jammed with Bibles, printed in various languages to be circulated and to be sent to the various parts of the world, long after he was dead and forgotten in his grave and likely his soul in a sinner's hell. But the Word of God, the indestructible Word of God, it liveth and abideth forever. So all attempts to do away with the Bible, away with the Scriptures, will prove but in vain. God's Word liveth, God's Word abideth forever. And I would like to ask all my hearers today, have you been begotten? Have you been born of the Spirit of God by the power of His precious and of His holy Word? Ah, friends, thank God there's power in the Word of God. It can do what nothing else can possibly do. And so what we need is to stimulate an interest on the part of our hearers and the part of men and women everywhere to turn to the Bible, turn to the Word of God. When men and women become burdened and exercised about their souls and about where they're going to spend eternity, there's only one book that has the answer, and that's God's precious, holy, and unerring Word. Oh, I ask you, have you ever turned to the Word of God? Have you found solace there? Have you found rest and peace for that sin-burdened heart of yours? As you read those sacred pages that tell us of the glories of the Son of God, that tell us of the gift of the Son of God, of the death and the glorious resurrection of our blessed Savior and His ascension to the right hand of the glory above. Yes, friends, you are privileged, and if you live in a land, where a land of Bibles, and if you have the opportunity to open up those sacred pages, you know, we thank God for a government that protects us in reading the Word of God, in proclaiming the Word of God. There are those that would restrain us and would put a restraint upon opening the Scriptures, reading the Scriptures, circulating the truth of God, and preaching to, if it were in their power. But we live in the land of the brave and of the free, for which we thank the God of heaven. And our prayers should go out day by day for our beloved president and those associated with him in high office, that this precious privilege may long be ours. Yes, that it may be ours until the rapture, until we're called out of this scene. You know, there's a day coming, says the Word of God, when there will be a famine, not for bread, and a thirst, not for water, but there's going to be a famine for the Word of God. Men and women would give all they possess for what is theirs today with free and easy access and for nothing. Read the Word of God. Read it every day, and if you read the Word of God, there's a message from God, a message from high heaven to you, whoever you may be. Yes, friends, the book we call the Bible is God's book, it's God's Word, and it's for you. And there's no source of life apart from the Word of the living God. You see, that's how Paul speaks of it in the Epistle to the Hebrews. He says about that word, it's quick, that is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And then again, we've been reminding you that in the sixth chapter of the Gospel by St. John and verse 63, our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Now, if there's anxiety on your part to know life, to possess life, to enjoy life, and of course we're speaking about that life that Jesus gives, we can tell you that it is revealed in God's precious Word. It's revealed in the Holy Scriptures. Oh, thank God for the simplicity of salvation as revealed to us in the Scriptures. Now, I should like to call attention to the fact we have already been stressing that in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25, that men and women who are saved are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, we're living in a world, and conditions around us are subject to change. There's constant change. And what may be known and enjoyed today, perhaps in 10 years, 15 years, and 20 years from now, will be a thing of the past, be completely obsolete. But you know, God's salvation is for mankind, and there's no change from the very day that my Savior was here upon earth and told men and women how they could be saved. There has been no change from then up until the present day. There's life, eternal life, alone found by the exercise of faith in the Word of God and in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, His death upon Calvary. He died, but He arose and He lives forever. And we can say, hallelujah, Christ arose. Now, I should like to remind you of the fact that in this world there are changes, and God has spoken of it in this way. If you were to turn to the first epistle of John, and in the second chapter, you would read an amazing statement like that goes like this: for all that is in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And listen to what he says now following that: and the world passeth away. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. No, you cannot stay here forever. The poor old world is going to pass away. And may I remind you of what the Scriptures tell us after the end. Of course, our Savior's coming first for His own. Yes, and soon after the rapture, the day of God's wrath. His wrath and His anger will be poured out upon a guilty world. And we read, for instance, in the second epistle of Peter, chapter 3, and at verse 6, which says, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, and the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Oh, and think, will you, of this solemn verse: but the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and all also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. But all true believers in Christ can say, even here and now, it is well with my soul. If you'd trust Him right now as your personal Savior, you'd have no fear as to the future. Your darkness would be past and gone forever, and the joy bells of God's salvation would begin to ring today, never to end. Now, if you enjoyed what you've been listening to, or if you'd like further spiritual help, drop us a line. The following address will reach us: Good News Hour, care of the Lansing Gospel Chapel, the corner of Bernice Road and Roy Street, Lansing, Illinois. Drop us a line. Do it right today.